B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to Checkpoint AFK. To listen to the full episode, go to checkpointxp.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Checkpoint AFK, your podcast where we talk about everything away from the keyboard. We're still surrounding a little bit of video games. I am your host, Norris Howard, joined with Callie Sloan and Robbie Landis, and a very, very special guest this week, guest hosting with us for the show is Erin Simon. You know her from Cheddar Esports. You know her from her own stream where you can check her out, and you know her from a litany of games and or game coverage and game events with ESPN and so many more. Erin Simon, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of AFK.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you guys for having me. I have to admit, you definitely hyped me up a lot more because there's definitely some people who have no idea who I am. and that's okay. But yeah, no, I'm excited for this. I especially looked at the topics. And I thought that this week was weird and crazy enough, but some of the conversations we're about to have, like, it just took it to a whole other level.
Yeah, and you know it's funny, and we'll get into some of those conversations in a minute, but Erin is somebody who I personally have, you know, followed and loved seeing all the things that they do, you know, from like the grassroots podcast and everything that you do that I just think is so awesome. And you're always talking about the culture. You're always collaborating with really, really awesome personalities. And we're just very lucky to have you on the show today. And we really appreciate it. And if you have not followed her or have not, you know, interacted with Erin, you are doing yourself a disservice. So before we get into the conversations, Erin, you know, what are some things you've been working on and doing, especially since we've been in quarantine?
Oh my gosh. So I've been working on a lot of broadcasts. So a lot of charity broadcasts, a lot of these different remote broadcasts that have like that culture / esports and gaming component to it. And then my agents have been working on a lot of stuff for me as well. I can't quite speak to these things yet, but there are some really cool things behind the scenes that I'm working on putting together, especially when it comes to I always talk about providing opportunities for those who are in the underserved communities in esports and gaming and really highlighting certain aspects of the industry that need to be improved on. So I've been working, you know, been speaking with different orgs and been speaking with different companies in terms of like, what can we do now to further, obviously, you know, the esports and gaming industry is always growing and ever growing, but what are some ways that we can help to improve it and make it a better experience for everyone? So I've been working on some side projects in terms of that. And then I've been having fun with my friends and I started streaming. Like, streaming for me is just like a fun thing to do. Like, my main bread and butter is hosting, but you know, I have like a newfound, I've always had respect for streamers, but I have like a whole other level of respect for them since doing it. And it's pretty therapeutic as well. I feel like I can like just be myself and play. And I have to admit, I cuss a lot when I play sometimes. So it's a little bit, it shows a different side of me too. So I've been enjoying all of it.
I totally get it being therapeutic though. When I first came out, like, those late night streams, just talking to people was like so helpful for like working through the feelings. It was big.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So, you know, we definitely want to get into talking about some weirdness in video games, but to shift gears, it is impossible for us to move forward in the show and not talk about the current unrest in Minneapolis right now, in Twin Cities. And I definitely have to bring this up because one of our first major affiliates was around the Twin Cities area when we first started Checkpoint, back way, way back when it was Checkpoint Radio. Minneapolis was one of the first communities to embrace us as a show, as well as Bemidji, Minnesota, as well. And seeing everything that is going on around the killing of George Floyd, I felt like this is a moment where we as people, gamers in particular, as a cohort, there's no way that we can continue to talk, you know, to ignore these things. Gaming and gamers are one of the largest demographics in the country.
In the
everybody
world.
Plays video games. Yeah. In the world, everybody virtually plays video games. And it is impossible for us to see something like this happening and to say that, you know, we can't speak to it. There's gamers out there protesting. There's somebody out there right now who's like sitting in front of a wall of flames and probably pulled their Switch out just because they're like, oh man, you know, I gotta get this quick, you know what I'm saying? I gotta sell some bells. I don't know. I don't play Animal Crossing, but somebody probably played Animal Crossing in the middle of a protest yesterday. But the point is that this is a serious situation that continues to happen, and yet I still see, for the vast majority, I still see silence from the gaming community outside of, obviously, African-American content creators. So, Aaron, I want to throw this to you first.
Mm-hmm.
and say, you know, obviously you've been following this as well. What are your feelings right now? How do you feel? And you know, what have you been seeing in your communities and your networks?
So for me, I'm always someone who, especially when it comes to these moments, I feel like it's so important to be very precise with your words. I mean, everyone responds differently, right? And so for me, I sat back because I know that there's certain people that are, you know, are watching the gaming community and are like, okay, who's responding and who's not responding, right? And I feel like there are certain people who are not speaking because I've been having private conversations with different people, and basically what they're saying is they don't, as white allies, they don't want to step on the Black community's toes. Like, they want to figure out like how can they help, but they don't know what's the best way to go about it. And so for me, you know, that's why, like, anytime I've seen like certain people, they've been like retweeting like what other people in the community, specifically Black community, have been saying. Like, they've been retweeting those sentiments and those feelings. And so I actively reached out to them and I'm like, listen, like, if you have a question and if you don't know how to convey how you feel or how you want to help, like, it's okay to ask. I think that, you know, one, there are people who aren't speaking up and it's very evident. And I understand there are certain people that don't want to speak up because they are afraid of potentially not getting work or potentially, you know, being blackballed or just saying the wrong thing. And now is not the time for that, right?
Yeah.
It's very clear as day that this man was killed. He was murdered. There's footage that it was, what they did was not okay for the police. And, you know, and the conversation that, or the tweets that I put out was like, listen, today is the day to have that conversation. Today is the day for us to speak on these things. And for anyone who is an ally or for anyone who may feel discomfort with having this conversation, you know, I straight up said that discomfort that you may have in 30 minutes to an hour is never going to be the level of discomfort that someone like myself have just being Black in America and living it day in and day out. So you can handle a 30 minute to an hour discomfort conversation, because we ourselves have uncomfortable conversations with people every single day just because we are human beings. And it's to a point too where it's like, we shouldn't have to constantly prove that being a human being at the end of the day is worth us having our life be valuable. Like, it's, we shouldn't have to constantly prove that, and we shouldn't have to constantly be discredited. Now, of course,
I was just gonna say that's absolutely true. And you know, I've been seeing, you know, the conversation on social media, and I've been seeing, and I echo your sentiment, but to me, at a certain point, and I think this is where I begin to differ from a lot of folks, because to me, at a certain point, I get to a point where I feel like, why am I still having to educate folks? Like, it's 2020, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, this stuff is very cut and dry. It's very in your face. It's right there. Why is it still, you know, on the African-American community or any other community to continue to educate other people? The information is out there. Somebody like You know, even like Robbie, you know, here in the show is somebody who grew up in a, you know, a more remote part of Michigan. You know what I mean? A more remote part of the state.
It's a very kind way of putting it, Norris.
Okay, you grew up in the fucking boondocks, man. I was trying to be nice. But the key that I'm saying is that you nobody had to sit down and have a conversation with you. I have never actively sat down with you and had a conversation to say, this is what it's like to be black. You were kind of like, no, dude, I read books and watch TV. Like, I know for a fact what it's like, you know, or it can have an example. I don't know. I don't see why it's still our responsibility to continue to educate folks when common sense should prevail.
But I also, I'm sorry. You
no,
go.
You're fine. Go ahead.
But I also feel like with that, like, we have to understand that historically, right? Anytime there is big change, there has to be multiple routes, right? We've seen everything. There's always a duality of that, right? From Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X, right? There's always going to be, there has to be this one path of continuing to speak on these things. And then there's another that's a course of action. The one thing I realized is when I went to school in Kentucky, there are people who literally have never been around a black person until I went to college with them. So all they know is the information that media and the information that they got from videos. And unfortunately, for as big as the internet is and as resourceful it is, it also has a lot of inaccurate information. So unfortunately, we're gonna have to continue to dispel these things because people don't know where the best places and the best information they can get. Like you can't even rely on the news because even the presentation of black people in media and news is still poor. There's still stereotypes that are being portrayed, and not just of black people. There's stereotypes that are being portrayed about many people, a lot of underserved communities. So we will have to answer some of these questions and speak. I would rather educate and speak to someone who is taking the time to ask the questions, because the one thing I've realized too is like there is a difference between ignorance and racism. Sometimes they are connected as one, but there is a difference. And I would rather educate, and I would rather give people books that they could read where it's like, I don't have to sit here and say, but maybe they don't know where to go. Maybe they don't know what books to read because they don't have any black people in their lives to tell them. Right. So it's kind of like, if you don't have anyone in your life that is part of that community, you don't know where to start. So I think.
Yeah. And you know, I want to bring Callie in on this one, because Callie, you have been very active on social recently around this. I've been seeing you engage with a lot of people around this. And, you know, very briefly, you know, what has been the reaction that you've been getting? Because I don't have an eye into how, you know, white folks are talking to other white folks about this.
Right.
Because that is the one side of the conversation that I think that is where actual substantive cultural change can happen. Because I can't tell you how to change your community from the outside. That has to come from within. So when it comes to something like this, and as gamers, all of us, obviously we can impact our community from within gaming, but what has that conversation been like? Because I'm curious to hear, you know, how those conversations have, you know, transpire.
Well, I'll tackle that from two perspectives. The first, and let me preface this by saying I'm not playing the Pain Olympics by any stretch of the imagination here. Obviously, I come out of the trans community and the LGBT community, which has their own set of horrific statistics and figures that they have to contend with on a daily basis. But even I will recognize that at the end of the day, I had the choice of whether or not to come out, and I will live with the consequences, both good and bad, of having made that choice. You do not get to make that choice on whether to come out as black. You don't get to have the Twitter announcement where you're like, guys, some of you may have known this for a long time, but I'm black. You know,
I'm black.
You don't have that option, whereas I did. And I think that kind of plays into a little bit of what the white community is feeling right now as we look at this horrifying thing happen over and over again, right? And let's make no mistake, this has been happening like clockwork, more frequently than school shootings, I feel like, for the better part of the last, 270-some years. So yeah. I think what a lot of white people see, or at least I know I had my period of feeling this way, is I would look at that and go, okay, that's horrifying. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do about that, maybe if I just put my fingers in my ears and look away, it'll stop happening. And as much as it shames me to admit that that thought had crossed my mind, I have to sit here and think, listen, I don't even know how to begin to affect change on that level, which is why today, when I started getting really involved in this conversation, because I'd finally had fucking enough of it, I started seeing people in the LGBT community. I started seeing women's groups. I started seeing all other affected groups all come together on this one and just be like, holy shit, this isn't okay. And even if it's not, you know, a trans person this time, it very well could be a trans person next time. I said it on my Facebook this morning. It's not about saying you can't be a cis white het male. It's not about saying that's not okay. Yeah. It's totally okay to be that person. It's about recognizing that if you are not all four of those things, you can be murdered in this country and there will be no consequences for it. Look up trans panic. And it's a horrifying concept, but it exists.
Yeah. And Robbie, as the cishet white male on the show, you know, the one thing I will say is that you and I have had some conversations about this kind of stuff, and we're going to wrap it up on this one. But Robbie, you know, seeing all this happen and knowing that there is so much animus out there, you know, how are you feeling about this? And, you know, what is your take on this?
Horrifying is an understatement to what I think, you know, the country is seeing right now. And, you know, I have recently, there's been a family member that I don't think that they mean any ill will. I think that they could probably be swayed like one way or the other. You know, it's not like they're combative whenever I post anything or share anything, but they always try to come at it from with some skepticism and not in an aggressive way like some people do. But even in that case, trying to talk it out with them, it's so difficult because it's like people are constantly looking for excuses to try and fight back or to try and justify this. And you know,
as Lloyd in the chat has said, you know, whataboutism, when black people kill other black people, what about when they loot, that kind of stuff
to justify it, because if you can't justify it, it indicates a need for systemic change, and systemic change is scary.
I think for me what has started to feel so hopeless about this is, you know, with the armed protests that happened in Michigan's capital 9 weeks ago.
Yep.
Like it's like these things are literally happening side by side, a second after the other, and people still don't get it. And like Callie had said, I'm at the point where I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's difficult. Aaron, I want to give you the last word on this one before we move on. You know, hearing those comments, you know, how do we move forward, you know, as gamers, as people, as a society, as a country, in your opinion, you know, what steps should we be taking right now?
I mean, that's it's so complex. I mean, there's so many different things that we can do. But what I would say is for those who want to help, who don't quite know what to do, like have a conversation with your friends, right? Have a conversation, ask them if, you know, because I think the whataboutism part, they don't fully understand that these feelings and these sentiments and these emotional moments that are happening right now, it's not like it just popped up today. This is something that happens day in and day out and day in and day out. And I think the best thing that you can do is just talk to your friends. Ask them who are some good representatives in terms of social injustice that they can follow, that they can learn from, they can understand. And then understanding, like, how can they, like, what can they do? I think that one of the best things, like, if you are from another community, then speak to your community about what's going on. You know, not only talk to the people within the Black community, but have those tough conversations with your friends, like, and feel like, and you have to look at yourself. Are you doing enough? Because right now, I'll be honest, the answer is no. Like we're still having this problem. So clearly everyone across the board is not doing enough. And I think that at this point, it's not on the Black community for us to be trying to convince and say like, this needs to change. No, it's on us to tell everyone else right now, like, And this is in no way an attacking at all, but it's right now, like, we have to tell everyone you're not doing enough. But if you want to do something, we are here and we will help guide you and we will help answer any of your questions and we will have it be a uncomfortable, but yet a productive and progressive journey for you. Yes. So we can get to a better place, ultimately, not only for the Black community, but for everyone else, because we have to help one another at the end of the day. You know, the same way that, for example, the LGBTQ plus, they help us, we help them. Like, we have to work as one at the end of the day.
No one should have to justify their own existence. We should be justifying each other.
Exactly. Well said, everybody. And we're going to unfortunately leave the conversation at that, you know. And listen, if you guys out there want to continue this conversation, want to continue talking about it, as gamers, and we definitely should, join any of these Discords, join our Discord, join the Grassroots Podcast Discord. These conversations are happening everywhere. They're happening in the Discords. They're happening on Twitter. They're happening on Facebook, wherever. Join them. Do not be afraid to join these conversations. Do not be afraid to ask questions and sound somewhat ignorant if you, you know, if you don't know. It is much better to ask the question than it is to make the assumption. So let's talk about it. Let's move forward and let's figure out a way how we can all become better, because this is unacceptable. It can't keep happening. And my last note is that if you are upset about people burning down a police station or looting a Target more than you are about the loss of a actual human life, you just might be kind of trash. So stop mentioning that, you know, false equivalency. Somebody's dead. That is much more important and impactful than, I don't know, Target losing a few, you know, slap chops or whatever it is they sell. But anyway, we are going to be right back with more Checkpoint AFK, where we're going to lighten it up a little bit, where we talk about a bunch of furious neckbeards and how they've actually pressured HBO into releasing the Snyder Cut. We will be right back with that conversation on Checkpoint AFK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.